Begin the current daf, Masechta Baba Basra, daf Chav Dalet. Begin on the third line down by the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues the discussion with the previous daf. Amar Baya. Baya says, Af anan namatinina. We also learned like this halacha of Reb Chanina, which we learned in the previous daf, that he said that when you have Rei V'Karev, when you have the ability to ascertain a halachic debate, either based on the laws of majority or the laws of proximity, then you go after the Rei, after the majority, which that related to the halacha of our Mishnah, that's why it was introduced in the previous daf. And that says, Abaye, we learned like this, and it's supported from a Mishnah Masechtas Nida. The Mishnah says as follows, Dam shenimtza, regarding blood that is found by a woman, bepraizder, in the corridor, which refers to by the area of the vaginal canal, which is on the exterior part of the by the woman, which is called in halacha the beis achitz, in the outer area, says the Mishnah, sveikoi, it's doubt, meaning the doubt regarding this dam, because there are certain bloods that emanate from a woman that are going that have the halacha of tumas dam nida, and those that don't. So when you find the blood in the exterior areas of the vaginal canal, so that doubt, says the Mishnah, is tummy. Now Abaye explains that halacha, that Mishnah Masechtas Nida, is a definite tumma. Now, how do you know this? From the fact that it says over there, Shechaskase min hamakar, because says Abaye, the assumption is that it's coming from the uterus, which that's the reason from Tumas Nida, is when the woman is not successful at a pregnancy, then that child is a loss of life, which is where old tumma comes from, when a person dies, when there's a loss of a potential. So that blood that comes from the uterus, that then flows through the exterior through the corridor, and then come out of the woman, that's the dam, that's tummy. So when you find it in the uterus, the assumption is that it's coming from the uterus if you find it in the proizder, in the vaginal canal. But says Abaya, v'avagav de'ikaliyah de'mikarva, that's in spite of the fact that there is what's called an upper story in the woman that's closer to the corridor. In other words, what's this doubt of this halacha in the Mishnah Masechtas Nida? So the Reisha, that Mishnah Masechtas Nida, describes the anatomy of a woman through a metaphor of a room, which we call the cheder, and that's referring to the uterus, the proizder, which is the hallway getting to that room, which is the corridor, the vaginal canal, and then there's what's the aliyah, the upper story, which is another area by the woman, which has blood, but it's not the blood from the uterus, which does not have the tumas of Nida, just like a woman cuts herself and she bleeds. It's no tumma, it's only tumma from the uterus. So that's the dam of the cheder, that's tummy. And that's what we call the makar, it's the source, where that's the source of life for the child. Now, the Gemara there explains that the cheder, this room, the uterus, is the innermost part of the woman inside her, towards the back part of her. Now, the proizder, the corridor, the vaginal canal, is from the outside towards the front, which that leads towards the back, towards the uterus. Now, then there's an aliyah, there's another area in the woman that's on top of both of them, on top of the proizder and on the cheder. Now, the blood of that aliyah, of that upper part, is tar, that's not the uterus. Now, there's a little opening from that upper story, as we call it, in the mushal of this structure, down to the hallway, to the proizder, to the vaginal canal. Now, yet, still the Mishnah there teaches, if you find the blood in the proizder, the assumption is that it flowed from the uterus, and then it's on its way out. And the reason for that is because since the majority of bloods that the woman has in her vaginal canal is from a uterus, so we assume that it's from there, and we do not say that it dripped down from the upper story through that lull, even though that upper story is closer to the praiser that it's on top of, says Abaye, so you see Reb Chanina's halacha. You see that when you have something that's a majority, which is the makar, the uterus, and you have something that's karv, which is the aliyah, we assume that the blood is from the raiv, which is from the makar, and therefore it's going to be tummy. So you see Reb Chanina's halacha. On that omle Rava said to Abaye, no, there's no raya. Raiv umatzui ka'amrit? You're saying a case of not just that there's a majority, but that there's also what's more common. The blood of the makar has, yes, more blood than the blood of the aliyah, but moreover, it's more constant, more consistently flowing into the proizder, where the blood in the aliyah doesn't usually constantly drip down into the proizder. And that says, Rabbi, there no one would disagree with Reb Chanina, because Reiv Matzei Lekel Mandam, no one says that when you have on the one hand something that's the majority and more consistent, and on the other hand something closer, there everyone would agree that he would go after the roiv and matzah and not what's the proximity. But there's no raya for Reb Chanina's halacha when you only have roiv and not matzah, you only have roiv versus karb. There's no raya from the Mishnah Masechtas Nida. Now, continues the Gemara, the Tanya Reb Chiya, as we learned in the Brais that Reb Chiya taught. Now, Tosfos actually says, if the Girsa is not did Tani, but rather Tani, so then it makes a lot of sense. But because as we'll see what the Gemara is coming to illustrate. But if you say did Tani, which sounds like a continuation, it's coming to bring a proof, then Tosfos says it's hard to understand what the Gemara is saying. How is it being brought a proof from this Brais Reb Chiya that when do we say that everyone agrees to this concept, as we even find in the Brais Reb Chiya, as Rav is trying to refute Abaye's proof that it's by Reiv and Matzoi? Maybe it's not because it's Reiv and Matzoi, that's why Reb Chiya says this halacha, that because of this dam that's found in the praise to which the halacha that Abaye is trying to bring a raya from is that you'll burn the truma and that there'll be a chiv because it's Reiv and Matzoi. Maybe it's because it's Reiv and Karev and you go after the Reiv like Reb Chanina, and that's how Reb Chiya holds. How is Rava using this brace of Chiya to disprove Abaye's proof by saying, oh, that you see that no, everyone agrees to this concept because it's Reiv and Matzoi, not just Reiv against Karev. So therefore, Taisa says, if you learn Tani Reb Chiya, so that would make sense. The Gemara is not bringing any raya, and it's just saying the same aloha, and then it's still open for discussion what Reb Chiya is saying, if it's like Rava says or like Abaye says. But Tosfos says that even if we argue as did Tani, it's actually not a continuation of Rava's own words, because Rava would not have any proof from Reb Chiya. It could be that he would be saying like Abaye says it. Rather, it's the Gemara that brings did Tani. What's the Gemara coming to bring a proof to? It's coming to say that actually Abaye brought a legitimate proof to this halacha from the Mishnah Masechtas Nida, that when you have majority versus proximity, you go after the majority, because even though the lashon in the word in the Mishnah Masechtas Nida says sveikoi tamei, its doubt is tamei, obviously it's not a doubt. Why isn't it a doubt? Because if it's a doubt, so then there's no proof. It's just out of doubt. There's no conviction, meaning even if you say like Rava that it's there's Rav and Motzeh versus Karav, or only like Abaye says Rav versus Karav, the question that you could ask in Abaye's proof is that, what's the proof? It's a suffix derais, so we don't know. So out of doubt, we'll say that it's Tami. But there's no proof to say that Rav is better than Karav. It might be Karav, it might be Rav, we don't know either one, but out of doubt, you'd say it's Tami. And that's what the Gemara is being a proof. Did Tani Reb Chiya know Abaye, his primary concept that is being a Raya, that we see that it's definitively Rav versus Karav? Again, you could say like Rav, that's Rav and Matzeh, but that idea you find from the Brais of Reb Chiya, because he holds that this actual dam that's found in the Praisder would actually make liable for the Isser of coming into the Beis HaMikdash in a state of impurity, and you would actually burn Truma because of that, which is only by Vadai Tuma and not by Suffolk Tuma. But Taisa brings another interpretation from the Maram that it's actually Rava. But either way, it continues the Gemara. We learned in the Brais Reb Chiya that, and Rashi seems to take that approach that's coming to illustrate this idea of that it's definitely and Tame, where that would be the Rai, that's Raiv, is definitively the one that wins over Karev. Because Reb Chiya teaches the Dama Nimtza B'Praisa, this halacha that Mishnah over there is talking about, need that blood that's found in the corridor, Chayovan Olav Al Bias Mikdash. So one is liable for coming into the Beis Mikdash in that state of impurity because of the Dam Nida, which, what again, the Gemara is proving is that we're not in doubt that, wait a second, what do you mean you're liable? Then you have to bring a carbon, but you might not be Chayav a carbon, you might be bringing Chulun Tadazar. It's not true. That's what the Gemara is proving, that it's definitely Dam Nida. And b'sarfin lo b'sa truma. So too, if let's say truma touches that dam, which you would say maybe it's suffic, it's not true. You actually burn the truma, and you don't say that it's suffic, because if it's suffic, then actually the halacha would be toilin. You're not allowed to eat it, but you don't burn it. So therefore, again, you prove this idea that it's definitely that the halacha is that we go after the roiv versus the karb. Now, continues the Gemara, V'amar Rav, and Rav says, Shemaminam and Reb Chiya, what we learn from this halacha of Reb Chiya, that he assumes that this blood is definitely dam nida that's found in the praiser, and that's why he says you'll burn truma and you'll even get b'chayv a carbon for coming to the Beis HaMikdash by having it come in contact with that blood of nida. You learn tlas, you learn three halachas. Shemaminam, first of all, you learn the halacha of Reb Chanina, that roiv b'karv halacha acha roiv, that when there's a majority versus proximity, you go after the majority, because the blood that's found in the praiser, the majority is from the uterus, but the karev is actually what's on top of it, and still you see that he holds that it's tamei. Pshmamina, the second thing that you learn is that rubadei rai, so that this law of majority actually has biblical sources, And that's why it has biblical implications regarding being chayiv and bias mikdash and burning truma on it. And b'shmam, because it's only based on the raiv that it came from the uterus. And b'shmamina isler b'zera. A third thing you learn from him is that he holds on the halacha of b'zera. Because the amr b'zera said, and this is in the context of what's the end of the first pack of Masechta Ksubis that talks about when there's 9 stores that sell kosher and 1 store that sells non-kosher. So when you find a piece of meat in somewhere in the city, you go after the majority of the stores, which the majority are kosher, and therefore the piece of meat is going to be kosher. Now, says Reb Zeira, and that's even if afal pisha dlosis medina neulos. That he explains that halacha that is even if the doors of the city are closed, where the implications of that is that there's actually only one majority that's permitting the meat that you find over there, which is one raiv, the raiv of the meat stores in that city. Because 9 of them sell kosher, and 1 of them sells non-kosher. Now, the reason of this idea is because there are certain halachas that actually require what's called trei rubi, 2 majorities, as the Gemara there explains, which that you would have in this case, for example, if let's say the doors of the city are open, and the majority of slaughterers, even out of the city, are also Jewish, well, then you would say, oh, based on the 2 majorities, you would say that it's kosher. 1 is the majority of this city, the stores are the majority are kosher. And moreover, even the majority of meats that come from out of this city are also kosher because all those slaughterers are Jewish. And the Rebbe Zera says, no, you don't need trei rubi. It's enough even with 1 majority. Even if the doors to the city are closed, where you only have 1 majority, that would also say the piece of meat that you find is kosher. And that says Rava, that you see from Rebbe Chiya, like this halacha of Rebbe Zera. Because the ha'isha, because regarding the woman, when you find the blood when she finds it in the vaginal walls in the canal, the chidalasis medina ne'ulis dam. It's exactly like that case of Reb Zeira, like when the doors of the city are closed. In other words, that when there is not 2 majorities, only 1 majority, where here also, the fact that the blood is going to be considered tame has only 1 majority, only 1 raiv, which is the raiv that the majority of the bloods by the woman is in the uterus. And still Reb Chiya goes after the majority, which therefore the blood that you find in the vaginal canal mandates to bring a carbon to the azara, and if it touches truma, you're going to have to burn the truma, where that's something that's forbidden to do if it's doubt. You see that he holds that it's a definite based on the 1 majority. Now, the Gemara asks on what Rava just said, that these are 3 halachas you learn from Reb Chiya. But Vaharava, who the Kama Rav himself just said before in his rejection of Abaye's proof, he was the one that said that Roivu Matsu Lekalamando Amar, that there is no one that contests Reb Chanina's halacha when there's majority and consistency versus Karav. And therefore, you cannot support Reb Chanina's halacha from this idea of Dama Nimtza Bepreisder, because that's not a case of Roiv versus Karav. It's Raiv and Matzah versus Karv. And yet here Rav himself is saying that from this halacha of Reb Chiya, which is the same halacha, you're coming to support this halacha of Reb Chanina, because he said that you learned 3 things, and one of them was Raiv and Karv. So the Gemara answers, Hadibi Rav Mahi. You're right, Rav retracted from that which he had said before in rebutting Abaye's proof, and rather, he holds that you don't need to have Raiv and Matzah. Rather, as long as you have a Raiv versus Karv, he agrees to the concept that you'll go bust of the Raiv. And that's one of the halachas you learn from this Braisa of Reb Chiya. And in other words, that he means he holds that it doesn't make a difference, Matzah, to say that that's the defining factor of why Raiv is better than Karv. Now the Gemara brings a discussion that comes back to this, that Itmar, we learned Chavis, regarding a barrel of wine, Shetzafa ben Nahar, that's found floating in the river. So I'm a Rav. He says, Nimtzis keneged ir shel Rabbi Yisrael, if it's found opposite a city that the majority of the inhabitants are Jewish, so mataris, Jewish wine is permitted. I mean, you're allowed to keep it, you're allowed to use the wine. Keneged ir shel Reuben Nachum, but if it's opposite a city that the majority of the inhabitants are non-Jews, so then that's a surah, it's forbidden because of Yayin Nachri, which is forbidden. Shmuel Amr, he says, no, Philip Nimtzis keneged ir shel Rabbi Yisrael, so he says, no, it's forbidden even if it's found opposite a Jewish city. Why? Because Amr, you could say, Mehai Dikra Asoi. It came from the name of that city, which is on the edge of by the Euphrates, as the Gemara Masechtas Kedushin says, regarding the halachas of Yichus and Gittin. There's no Jews that are found over there, and it's the higher part of the Euphrates River. Now, says Shmuel, although now you found it opposite a Jewish city, but it could be that the barrel fell from someone over there, and it came down to the part of the river over here, and therefore, we have to suspect that maybe it's non-Jewish wine, and therefore forbidden. Says the Gemara, Lema b'Reb Chanina k'miflagi, going back to the Gemara's discussion before. Let's say this Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel is in this halacha of Reb Chanina. Because Demar Shmuel isle Reb Chanina, he holds like the halacha of Reb Chanina. Although you have Karv, which is the Jewish city right next to here, but you also have the majority, which are the non-Jews in the world, and therefore we say that it's forbidden because Kabir came from the Rub of the Alma, which are the non-Jews. Whereas Demar, but Rav lesle Reb Chanina, he does not hold like the halacha of Reb Chanina, and he actually goes based on what's closer, not what's Rive, which is the Jewish city, where again Shmuel holds you go bust to the Rive, and therefore he holds like Reb Chanina, and therefore it's forbidden. Says the Gemara, Loi, no. The Kula Amma Islud Reb Chanina, we could say that actually everyone holds like Reb Chanina, that when you have a Rive versus a Karb, you go after the Rive. But Vahacha, Bahaka Mifliga, so what are they disagreeing about? The Marsava, Rav, who said that it's permitted, why? Why don't you go after the majority from the inhabitants of the city on the top of the Euphrates? Because Im Isa de Mahai Dikra, so if you say it came from that town, Hai Dikra, then Ikule Upishuri have a Matfila, then it would have got stuck. It would never have made its way down over here to where it's opposite the Jewish city, because there are many places on the river from there till here where the word equal means that the water, it like swirls like a whirlpool, and it takes it around and around because of all the different rocks that are there along the length of the river, and the water covers over it, and that's where a lot of times boats get stuck in that and they drown. So too there's this Peshuri, which comes from the word of that the snows where they melt. And they gather into certain pools in the river, and they just sit over there, those pools of where the snow melts. And if the barrel would have came from up there, it would have got stuck over there, and the river would not have brought it down over here. So the Rav says, no, we don't assume that it's from there, even though if it's a possibility, we would say we go bust to the Rive, but it's not a possibility, because we say it doesn't make sense that it would have come from there, it would have gotten drowned or gotten stuck before it came here. Whereas a Marsav, but Shmuel said that it is Aser, is because no Harifa de Nahara Noket Vasal. It's possible, he says, that maybe when it fell there on the top of the river, meaning but somewhere in the middle of the river, where in it's the way the strength of the river is, and the water that's flowing was able to bring it all the way down to where this Jewish city is, and it didn't veer to the right or the left, where then it would get stuck in these eddies or these whirlpools and all these different places, and then it would get stuck. Shmuel says, no, it's possible it did come from there, and therefore the Rive is a legitimate variable. And then, therefore, because they both agreed to Reb Chanina's halacha, Shmuel says you go bust the Rive, whereas Rav, who said, although generally we would go, but in this case it's not tenable, therefore you go after the Jewish city that it's opposite. Now the Gemara actually brings stories related to this halacha, that Hahu Chatz v'dechama, there was a barrel of wine, Dishtakech b'pardes de Arla, that was found in a vineyard of Arla, which is that the trees were in the first 3 years where there's forbidden to have any hana, any benefit from those grapes or wines that come from it. And there was a barrel of wine found in that vineyard. So the Gemara tells us that Shai Ravina. Ravina permitted that the consumption of that wine. And in the sense, he was not concerned that maybe that barrel of wine was stolen from this vineyard, and hence it's forbidden because of Arla. So says the Gemara, Leim Mishum de Savala Reb Chanina. Should we say to prove because he holds a Reb Chanina? Which is, although that it's right here in this vineyard, that's obviously proximity, but you don't go after proximity, you go after the majority. Majority of barrels of wine didn't necessarily come from this vineyard. And therefore, we don't assume that it's Arla, and therefore it's permitted. Says the Gemara, no. Shani Hasam, there it's different. It wouldn't be approved, because the imigdim mina, because the reason why we don't assume it's from there, it's not because we go after Roy versus Karv. Maybe we usually would go after Karv. But there, if it was stolen from that vineyard itself, the thief would not have gone, it's not how thieves do it, he would not have gone and concealed that wine in the place where he stole it from, because he would be afraid that maybe they would find it when they're looking through the vines, through the grapes, when they're pressing the grapes, and therefore, that's why we don't assume. Maybe generally we would say Karav versus Rive, but in this case, it wouldn't, and it's not a Raya that he was passing it specifically like Reb Chanina. Now, the Gemara, however, qualifies this halacha and says, V'hanim ilechamra, but this is only said regarding wine, aval invi mitzne, but actually grapes, even if someone would take from this vineyard, he would hide it over there, because then it's only when they're pressing that they would find it, but if not, and therefore then the halacha would be relevant regarding saying that possibly it is from this vineyard, and then it would be dependent on if you hold like Reb Chanina or not. Gemara brings another incident. Hanu ziki dechamra. There were these flasks of wine, Dishtakhen Bekufoy, that were found because they were hidden amongst the vines of a vineyard which was owned by a Jew. Now Sharin Rava said that they're permitted, these wine flasks. So says the Gemara, Lema loisav al Reb Chanina. Should we say that Rava does not hold like Reb Chanina, which is that he goes after the majority? Rather, we see that Rava goes after the proximity. And here, since it's closer to it's in the Jews' vineyard, so that's more common than the non-Jews, and we don't go after Rub the Alma, the majority of the people in the world, who the majority of the people in the world, the Jews are but 1% of the world population, that we see that Rava does not go after the Rave, rather he goes after Karv, and that's why he said it's permitted. We don't assume it's non-Jewish wine because it was in a Jewish vineyard. So the Gemara, no, it's no riot there either. Shani Hassan, there it's different, because the Ruba, the majority of, as we continue in Talmud Beis, the Shfuchai, the majority of those who their profession is that they pour the wine, they're the middleman, they take from the large barrels and they pour it into flasks. And they sell it to passerby who are in this country where, as the Gemara will conclude, that's the small flasks are usually by passerby. So the majority of those who have this profession, who buy barrels and then take it into small flasks and sell it, are Yisrael Ninu, are Jews. And therefore, since they found the small flask, it's actually not because of the car that was in the Jews' vineyard that we assumed it was kosher wine, but rather because, yeah, the majority of those who make these flasks are Jews. And that's why he said that it's permitted, which is actually the halacha of Reb Chanina of Rav. Now, however, continues the Gemara and qualifies this, but this was only said by large ones, where then you don't have to be concerned about the majority of the people in the world to say that, wait, but who are the people that usually have these flasks? Are travelers. And most of the travelers in the world are non-Jews. So therefore, says the Gemara, that this halacha was only said by large ones. Avazuchi, but you're right, if it's small flasks, then Imer Ma'ivri Derachim Nafal, then you would say that maybe it fell from a passerby, and then you're right, even if we found it in the Jews' vineyard, we would not go after proximity, we would go after majority, and actually majority of people that have these small flasks are actually passerbys that are non-Jewish, and then it would be forbidden. This halacha was only told about because they were large flasks. And large flasks, you don't usually take as a traveler, so who makes these flasks are these Jewish distillers that go ahead and take from large barrels to these flasks, and therefore that's why we assume, based on the laws of majority, that it was kosher Jewish wine. Now, Gemara makes one more qualification and says, but v'iika rav ravi bahadayu, but let's say even when you find a small flask, but with that small flask there are actually large ones with that small one, then actually even the small flasks are going to be permitted. The reason for that is because there is a large flask over there. Now, it's not normal for a passerby, for a traveler, to have a large flask with him. But there is a small flask. So rather, we say that all of these flasks must have fell from the producer of these flasks, which are Jews. Now, although that the small flasks, it's not normal for these producers to have their small flasks, and that says the Gemara, Eima ba'avruri havamantri. We could say that, so why did he have, obviously from the large flask, it's these Jewish producers. So why was there a small flask? That was only to equal the weight of the donkey. Because when they would have these two flasks, and if one of them would be bigger than the other one, so it would weigh the load to one side. So what they would do is, they would take these small flasks and hang it from the other side to equal out and balance out the weight on the donkey. That's why they were these small flasks. But really, it's from the Jewish producer, and therefore it's going to be permitted wine because of the rave of the Shefachai, which are Jews, and we don't assume that it's from passerbys who don't have the large flasks, only have the small flasks. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, can continue the themes of these Mishnayos in this Perek that we had previously, regarding the obligation of distancing something that could cause damage or that's detrimental to other elements. So says the Mishnah, Marchikin es ha'ilom in the ear. A person has to distance his tree from the city, which the Gemara explained the reason for this halacha is because of the beauty of the city, because it's beautiful for a city when it has an open area in front of the city. So if someone planting his tree, he has to distance it esen b'chamish amma, 25 ammas from the city. Now, b'char v'b'shikaman, if he's planting a carob tree or a sycamore tree, which they have a lot of branches, then chamishim amma, then you have to distance it 50 ammas from the city. Now, Abba Shola, I mean, he says, kol ilan srak, any barren tree that does not produce fruit is embarrassing, it's distasteful for the city, then chamishim amma, then that always has to be 50 ammas. Now, the Mishnah qualifies this halacha of the tree and the city. Ve'ima ir kadma, if the city was there first, and this guy planted his tree in the area that he's supposed to, that he's not supposed to plant, so then kites it, ve'ina nisim damim, so he has to cut down his tree, and the people of the city do not have to compensate him. Now, but let's say ve'im ilan kadma, let's say his tree was here before the city, and then the city gets up, and now it's still not appropriate for the city to have this within this area. So kaitzes, so he has to cut down this tree. But v'nais and damim, but whoever owns the city has to compensate him for his tree. Now, safik zekadim, safik zekadim. Let's say it's not clear, it's doubtful, we're not sure which one came first. Says the Mishnah kaitzes, so he has to cut down his tree. But and v'nais and damim, and they don't have to compensate him out of the doubt that maybe the city was there before his tree. Now the Gemara explains the halacha of a Mishnah my time. What's the reason why you have to distance a tree 25 amas or possibly 50 amas from the city? So Amar Uli says Mishum no yehir, because of the beauty of the city, to have an open area, not to have someone planting his trees right there at the opening of the city. Now ask the Gemara, but the tepik leidein oisin so de migrash. What do you mean? Why do you have to say because of the beauty of the city, someone's not allowed to plant over there? It should be based on a different previous halacha that we know of, that a person is not allowed to make the parts of the city that are supposed to have fields into an open part of the city. V'lo migrasa, then neither are you allowed to make the migrash, which are the open parts of the by the city, to make fields out of it. Which this is a Mishnah in the last paragraph of Sechtes Erichin of Lama Gimel Beis that says that there's an area called migrash, which is 1,000 amas, which for those 1,000 amas out of the right by the city limits, they're not allowed to make a field out of it. Now, the Gemara's assumption is that you're not allowed to make any field out of it, not what's called a stay love, and not a grain field, and not a stay ilan, not even orchard, not even trees. So therefore, why are you saying that you're not allowed to plant your tree because of the beauty of the city? You're not allowed to plant because for 1,000 amas beyond the city limits, you're not allowed to make that migrash area into a sada. Says the Gemara, Allah Yitzricha, no, the halacha of our mission is necessary, l'Rebbe Lazar. According to Rebbe Lazar, who he disagrees over there in the Amma that he says, that when did we say this halacha that you have to have an area of 1,000 amas of migrash? That was only by the Levite cities, by Ari Halavim. But actually by regular non-Levite cities, regular Jewish cities, that Eisen Sadin Migrash or Migrash Sadin, you actually could make the field part into an open part or open part into a field part. So that's what our mission is coming to say. But Hacham Mishum No Yehair Lo Yavdin, but here because of the beauty of the city, at least for an area of 25 or 50 amas, that you're not allowed to plant anything, you're not allowed to plant any trees over there. Now, the Gemara actually continues and says, Ol Rabbanan Nami, but actually even according to the Rabbanan, the army that they say, as we had just mentioned before, that ain oisin sada migrish, vali migrish sada, that no, actually, you're not allowed to make a field part into this open part, or the open part into the field part. Says the Gemara, we could still explain the halacha of our Mishnah. Because hanemili zram, when did we say this? That is only regarding, you can't make it into a sada, a stay lavan, which is planting seeds, like grain. But according to that halacha, actually you could make trees within the 1,000 amas of the migrash. But v'hacha, but that's what our Mishnah is saying, but at least within 25 amas, because at least for the beauty of the city to have at least some open space, that you're not allowed to do, even though within the 1,000 you could, but within 25 amas you cannot. Now, that the Gemara asked to explain, Uminot Tamer, from where do we know the Shani bin Zroin Li'ilonis, that there is a difference between seeds and trees, where again, as we're explaining, that to remove the title of Migrash, we said that Zroim will remove that title of Migrash. It's going to take it away from being a Migrash into a Sada, but Ilonis is not going to remove it. It's still going to maintain its fidelity to being a Migrash. Where do we know this concept from? So as the Gemara, the time, like learning the Braisa. Karfif yisim a base asayim. A karfif is an enclosed area. If that's more than a base asayim, now that measurement of sasayim is actually the measurement of the courtyard of the Mishkan, which the Chacham gave that as a measurement for any enclosure which was not enclosed for specific dwelling purposes, or let's say to be used from the house going into that area. For example, let's say you have an enclosed area in an open field area. That's the measurement of, that's the cutoff point, where if it's more than sasayim, and it's not specifically dira purposes, then you're not allowed to, it's not considered rishus hayachid, but lower than basis time, it still would be. So that says the Braisa, if you have an enclosure that's more than basis time, but let's say shahukif ladira, that let's say it was enclosed for dwelling purposes. So then even if it's, let's say, 10 kor, even though it's huge, huge area, you'd still be able to carry over there, because it is considered rishus hayachid. Now, that's what the Bryce is saying over here, that let's say it was more than Beis HaSayim, and it was enclosed for deer purposes. So again, generally, you'd be allowed to carry in that whole entire area. But, continues the Bryce, Nizra Rubai, let's say now, however, that area, the majority of it was now planted with seeds, that actually negates and removes the title of a dwelling place from it, because it's obviously not a dwelling place anymore, it's now like a farming place, it's like a place that's planted. So therefore continues the Braisa and says, now Harehu Kigina, now that Karfav, that enclosed area, actually has the halacha like a garden, which a garden is something that's not enclosed for dwelling purposes. And since it's more than Beis Sayin, actually Vaster, now you'd not be able to carry in it anymore. But continues the Braisa, Nita Rubai, let's say the majority was not planted with seeds, but it's actually planted with trees. Oh, trees do not remove the designation of a dwelling place from that enclosure. And Harehu Kachatzer, that's like a courtyard, which is in front of houses, which is enclosed for dwelling purposes and has trees. Umutra, and it's going to be permitted to continue carrying over there. So you see this differential regarding if trees are planted or if seeds are planted. Seeds mix it into like a farm. It's not a dwelling place anymore. Trees, people have in their natural habitat in dwelling places. And that's the understanding of what the Gemara was saying, that yes, although you're not allowed to make a migrash into Sada, that's into stay love into a grain field, but with trees, that's not a problem because that doesn't remove it from its title of being a migrash, of being a dwelling place for people. But that's what the Mishnah was saying, that although you're allowed to plant trees in the 1,000 Amas, but in the first 25 Amas that you can't because of the beauty of the city. Now the Mishnah continued and qualified this halacha and said, so although a tree is not to be planted within a certain area, whether 25 amas or 50 amas, so let's say, however, the tree was planted in that area. So says the Mishnah, v'im ha'ir kadma, if the city was there before the tree was planted, so kaitzitz v'einu nesin damim, so he has to cut down his tree, and he does not get compensated money for his tree, v'chulu, etc. Where then the Mishnah describes if the tree was first. Now, but first the Gemara asks, Maishna Gabi Bar. Actually, there's three differences that the Gemara is going to illustrate between the halacha of a pit and the halacha of a city in contrast to the tree. So the Gemara asks, why is it different by the case of a pit? Where there's also halacha, like just like you have to distance in our Mishnah a tree from a city, so too you have to distance a tree from a pit. Diktani, where we learned in the Mishnah later on, Chafeyim Abeis, also this halacha that it says that if the pit was there first, says the Mishnah, Kaitzitz v'naisen. So the one who owns the tree has to cut down this tree, and the owner of the pit has to give to the owner of the tree damim. He has to give the value of the tree to the owner of the tree. So why? So there he has to give money, even though the pit was there first. Then why is it any different over here by the city? Diktani, where we learned that if the city is first, kaitzitz v'ena naisen damim, that he has to cut down this tree and he does not get compensated. What's the difference? Why there does he have to be compensated and here he does not have to be compensated? So Rav Kahana says, this is what people say, that kidra de beishutfi, that a pot owned by partners, loy chamima, loy krira, it's never hot, never cold, because everyone relies on the other one that he's going to take care of the pot. So too over here, the analogy is saying that the value of the tree that this guy has to cut down, who's going to compensate him? If you're going to go ahead and impose the requirement of compensation on the people of the city, well, everyone's going to say, well, don't start from me. And he's going to say, don't start from me. So it's going to come out if you're going to have it in that type of situation that no one's going to compensate him. So the tree's going to be maintained and the city's going to be in a disgraceful state. And that's not appropriate for Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, says Rav Kahana, that we can't compensate him because no one's going to take the responsibility. At the same time, he has to cut down this tree. So he cuts down, because it's not appropriate for the cities of Eretz Yisrael, so he cuts down this tree, but he doesn't end up getting compensated. Whereas when it's regarding the pit of an individual, so although he cuts down this tree, but he'll get compensated from the one who made the pit because he's one individual, he could take him to court. Now, actually, on this answer, the Gemara asks, Umay Kushya, what exactly is the difficulty from the halacha of a pit to the halacha of a city that we had to give this answer of Kahana? Why is it difficult? Dilmashani has zeka de rabim has zeka de yachid. Maybe it's very different, the damages that affects a rabim, a public, to the damages that affects an individual. Maybe the sages did not require someone to cut down his tree because of some other individual's pit without getting compensated, because he's an individual, even if the pit was there first. But because of the damages that he's causing to a whole city, to a public, maybe they required him to cut it down without compensation. So Ella rather says the Gemara, you're right. If we did have this response of Rav Kahana, it was not on the halacha, the reisha, because the reisha is not difficult. That's no difficult from the halacha of bar on a city. Rather, as seife itmer, it was in response to a question that would be viable on the next halacha of the Mishnah. The Mishnah continues, im ha'ilon kadam, if the tree was first and then the city went up, but now it's within 25 amas of the city. So said the Mishnah, kaitzitz v'naisen dam. So he has to cut down this tree, and it gets compensated.
On that, the question is, but why? Let him tell the people of the city, what do you mean? First compensate me, and then I'll cut it down, just like you would say the halacha is by the pit. Why do you say that he has to cut it down and only they get compensated? No, you guys are in the fault. You built the city after me. First pay me, and then I'll cut it down. On that, and Rav Kahana, that's what Rav Kahana was coming to respond. And he says, no, we don't do it that way. Because a pot of partners, is neither hot nor cold. In other words, if you're going to wait until the city first compensates him and then he'll cut down this tree, this tree is going to be there for a long time. Because people of the city are going to rely one on the other, and this is actually what the owner of the tree wants. Therefore, says the Mishnah, no. First he cuts it down, and then he'll make sure to get compensated from the people of the city, and he'll bring the city members to court to get his money, but we cannot go ahead and have them first pay him, because that's never going to happen if it's up to them, and the tree's going to be maintained in a state of disgrace to the city, and that's why we do that first. Now, the Mishnah continued and said, Safik zeh kadem, v'safik zeh kadem. Let's say we're not sure which one came first, the city or the tree. So so he has to cut down this tree, but it doesn't get compensated. This is the third question from Bar. Why is it any different than halacha of the pit? The amrit lo yakutz. There we said that if you're not sure if the pit came first or that that guy's tree came first, that he doesn't have to cut down his tree. Why in our Mishnah when we said we're not sure, he has to cut it down and he doesn't get compensated? So says the Gemara, the difference is hasam over there by the pit. Divadai. When you have the definite case of the tree, in other words, if it's definite in that halacha when the tree was made first before the pit, that halacha is lav lemeketz koi. That tree is not designated to be cut down, as we taught over in that Mishnah regarding the pit. If the tree is there before the pit, so it's going to harm the pit, but why do you make your pit? He doesn't have to cut down this tree. So svikin nami lo mean lekoit. So also in the state of doubt, we also don't tell him to go ahead and cut it down, because it's on the victim who has to bring proof. You want me to cut it down? But first prove. If mine is here first, I don't have to cut it down. So first prove that you were here first. And since he can't bring proof because we're in doubt, so that's why he doesn't have to cut it down. However, hacha over here in the case of the city, where even the vadai lemeketz koi, even when the tree was definitely first, we said in our Mishnah, he still has to cut it down. We said he gets compensated if the tree is first. As the Mishnah said, if the tree is first, he has to cut it down and he gets paid. But either way, he definitely has to cut it down. So therefore, even in the case of doubt, when we don't know which one came first, either way, whatever way you look at it, he has to cut down the tree. The only question is, if he came first or not, will make a difference if he gets paid or not. But either way, you got to cut down your tree. So you got to cut down the tree. Now, and if you're going to say, but what's with regarding the compensation, meaning he's going to come to collect and say, well, you make me cut down, but I'm saying my tree is here first. On that, regarding that, we say, well, go ahead and bring proof that you were here first, ushkol, and then take. But since you can't bring proof, no one knows, therefore, the suffix is actually on you, because you have to cut down the tree either way. Now, regarding compensation, now you're the maitze mechaveri, Allah harai, you have to bring the proof, and that's why the halacha is different from the halacha of the city or from a pit in three different ways. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, again continuing on this theme of the previous Mishnah, is regarding distancing something that could cause damage to other elements. Says the Mishnah, Machikin as Gurin Kavua Mina'ir. One has to distance a permanent threshing house, which the Gemara will explain what designates something as a permanent threshing house, from the city, a distance of Chamisha Mama, 50 Amas. Now the reason that is because when there's the threshing, so then the chaff, the outer husk, comes off and it flies away and it could damage people in the city when they're winnowing. Moreover, it also could ruin the plantations, the seeds that people have. It'll dry it up because the chaff is something that's very dry. So for that reason, one cannot have his threshing house within 50 amas of the city. Now, so too says the Mishnah. A person not allowed to make a permanent threshing house even in his own property, Elim Kain, unless he has that same distance, that Yesh L'chamishan Am L'chalruach has 50 Amas in every direction, so even if the wind's going to take it, it's going to go only within 50 Amas and not harm anyone else. Now, moreover, says the Mishnah, Umarchik min t'yosev shechaveir, a person has to distance from the plantation of the saplings of his friend, Uminiroi, and from his plowing, which the Gemara will explain what type of damage does chaff, does the outer husk of the grain have for a plowed field. But nir is actually refers to a specific type of a plowing which is actually done in the summer months. And then the planting is actually not done until the winter months. But the reason why they plow in the summer is so that all the weeds that grew in the summer month, meaning from the previous plantation, should die, like the pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Nir lechem nir v'al tizru al kaitzim. We go ahead and plow so that you rip up all the old weeds. So says the Mishnah, the person has to distance himself when he's doing this threshing house from his friend's plowing, from his plowed field and from his saplings, b'chtei shelo yazik, so that he does not harm his friend. And this actually sounds like it's a lower measurement than 50 amos. It sounds like before it spoke about you have to distance it 50 amos. Here it sounds like as long as it just doesn't damage him, which sounds like even less than 50 amos, which is what takes us into the Gemara's question, which asks, well, why is it any difference than the Reisha, which says unless you have 50 amos in every direction? And here it goes on to say that no, as long as you just don't cause damage. As the Gemara asked, Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa, what's the difference between them? So Amabayi says, Seifa Ason Legurin She'en Kavua. The Seifa, when it talks about you have to distance your threshing from other people's stuff, like their plowed fields and their saplings, is talking about when you don't have a permanent threshing house. You just have it to be threshing. So there, it doesn't have to be a distance of 50 amos, as long as it's not going to cause any damage. Says the Gemara, Heichad Domi Gurin Shein Kavu, what is considered a non-permanent threshing house? So I'm Rabbi Yisrael Reb Chanin, it says, Kol She'en Ezeri Barachas, if the winnowing is not done with a rachas, meaning it's not such a large pile that is winnowing, so then you actually don't have to winnow with this rachas, which is some type of a tool that Rashi calls plablas, which is a large wooden utensil which is used to winnow the grain with. Rather, actually, the wind just blows in the pile, and then the chaff blows off by itself. Now, in contrast, when it's a large pile, then actually you have to pick up the grain with this rachas and throw it upwards, and then the wind comes and blows it, and then, since it's up there in the ear, then the wind blows it to very far away. That's when it's a permanent one, that's when you need 50 amos. One that you don't use a rachas, so the wind's going to blow it off, but it's going to be stay in local, and therefore then you don't need to have 50 amos, as long as it's not going to cause damage to your neighbor. Rav Ashi Amar, he actually says that the measurement of the seifa of Bechtei Shel Yazik actually is the same as the ratio of 50 amos. And matam kamar, the Mishnah is actually saying, what's the reason? It's actually one long statement. My time of marchikin gerin kavum in the ir chamishim amos. The Mishnah is coming to explain, why are we saying this halacha that you have to distance your threshing from the city 50 amos? And that's what the Mishnah concludes by saying, kedesh lo yazik, so that it does not cause any harm, any damage, as we said. So therefore it's the same halacha, it's not two different things. Now, Meisav, the Gemara asks, according to Abai's interpretation, from the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Marchikin Gerin Kavum in the Ir Chamisham Amma. As the Halacha of our Mishnah, you have to distance a permanent threshing house from the city 50 Amas. Continues the Braisa, Kashem Shem Marchikim in the Ir Chamisham Amma, just like you have to distance from a city 50 Amas. Kach Marchikim Midluav, Umikashuav, Umintiyoisav, Uminirish, Chaver Chamisham Amma. So too, you have to distance from his gourds and his melons and his saplings and his plowed fields from your friend. You have to distance it 50 amos, kedesh liyazik, so that it doesn't cause him any harm. So says the Gemara, Bishlam l'Ravashi Nicha, this Braisa works out very well according to Ravashi, because he said that yes, that halacha regarding Nirish al Chaver, which is kedesh liyazik, is the same as the Reisha, it's the halacha of 50 amos. But El Abaye Kash, according to Abaye, it's difficult because he said the halacha of Niroi, which is kedesh liyazik, is less than the halacha of Chamishim Amma. And because it's not permanent, in contrast where that's permanent, yet here we see clearly that the halacha of Niroi, which is the halacha of Kedesh Le'azik, is 50 amos. So the Gemara Kasha adds a difficulty on the Baya from this Braisa, how he's interpreting the Mishnah. Now the Gemara asks a technical question from this Braisa, which is the same question on the Mishnah. We could understand this halacha that he has to distance from his friend's melons and from his gourds, where, because it's going to be harmful, the chaff, when it blows onto these melons, when it goes into it, because the dust of the threshing, the winnowing, will go into the heart of that vegetation, and it's going to go ahead and it's going to burn up and dry up the moisture of that vegetable. But ask the Gemara, why does he have to distance the chaff, the winnowing, from a plowed field? How is that detrimental at all? On that, Amar Baba Brazav, the Beitim, and some say Rabba Bazutra, Memnei, the reason is because of the Katin type of Chofei Yaman Al, Sha'isa Isa Galol. Because it makes the whole plowed field very muddy because of all this remnants of the chaff. And therefore, it's actually going to ruin the seeds that are going to be planted in the field because it's too muddy, which is not the right type of quality that the land has to be. So therefore, it's going to be detrimental even for a plowed field. And therefore, that halacha applies, whether again, according to Abaye's interpretation, Mechdesh Le'azik, or like it sounds like from the Braisa, the way Rav Ashi had said, which is this halacha of Chamishim Amma, you have to distance it 50 Amma, so that does not harm his friend, even in the case of his plowed field.